All right, yeah, the next speakers are Trevor and Andrew, and they're going to talk about an Apache project related to quantum computing.
Thanks for joining. Good to see everybody. Hope you're having a good FOSDEM. Hope you have a good trip home, wherever you came from. We came from Chicago and Portland, Oregon. I had only 17 hours of flight, so grateful to be here. Just wanted to give everybody a heads up on a new feature in Mahout, which has allowed us to put quantum compute in our back end. We're just going to talk about who we are, where the project has been over the years, the rationale for putting quantum into Mahout, quick demo or just screenshots of live notebooks, and then a way, you know, calls to action for how you guys can get involved. Who am I? I came from Portland, Oregon, like I said. Been working on Mahout for about 13 years. I got into that when I found a bug in one of the similarity computations on a project for a bank. So we were making recommendation engine, and we were dropping all our results on the floor, got on the user list or the dev list and asked how I could help. And so I fixed a bug and got the bug for doing matrix math, being able to see where all the arithmetic happens. And it's been a fun ride. Met Trevor there. Have a lot of hobbies. Head of technology at SpeedChain, which is a B2B startup. And then Trevor, who are you?
Hi, I'm Trevor Grant. I also am a PMC, which is a project lead on the Mahout project. I wrote a book and some papers, but nothing on quantum. I am not a quantum expert, and I, aside from giving a talk at FOSDEM, don't really pretend to be one, at least not to people who actually know quantum. I've got two boys. I've been kind of out of I used to speak a lot. I haven't for the last couple of years. Had a couple of boys. They're really great, but I've been card-free since 23. I've actually been car-free since 2022. A lot of people in here are from Europe, and that probably doesn't sound like it's really impressive. In America, it's pretty hard, and I'm very proud of myself for that. And I've, as always, a special thank you to IBM for patroning my artistic endeavors, such as my vacation to Brussels. And who we aren't. As I was alluding to, we are not quantum researchers. You can, I think, awesome phrase I heard, you can nerd snipe us or try to, like, show that we don't know what we're talking about. You're going to win. I'm just going to give that to you right now. You got, if you're a freshman in a quantum program, you are going to blow us out of the water with some question, some gotcha question on quantum computing. We're not, you're not a PhD either, are you?
No.
Nope, we're not PhDs at all. I've got a master's degree. Again, we write some stuff, mainly blog posts. But who we are, we are pretty competent software engineers. Mahout has a background that we're going to get into of abstracting over backends and why that's important. And we have a history of doing that. And when we saw this quantum space emerging, it seemed like a good fit for a number of reasons. So with that, I'm going to turn back to Andrew.
Yeah, so this project has evolved over the years. And basically, it's been a small club of people interested in machine learning, data science, analytics, you know, natural language processing. We've evolved from initially a sub-project of Lucene. It became a top-level project as a recommender engine, which Sean Owen donated. I think it was called Taste. It's evolved over the years from a Hadoop-based MapReduce system, which turned out to be a bad architectural choice because you're doing full table scans every time you do an iteration on your machine learning algorithm. So we retooled and worked on a Spark backend. Then the direction of the project took a turn where we realized that there were so many backends popping up. There was Flink, there was H2O. And so we decided that the right thing to do was to provide a uniform interface where you could write code one time and then run it on any backend that you chose. That basically fast-forwarding was where the idea for quantum came because, as you'll see, there's several backends in the cloud providers. We thought we had an opportunity to make something that would benefit the community so that you didn't have vendor lock-in. You didn't have to decide for the next 10 years what platform you'd use. So that's the motivation for where we are with this. Yeah, and so coming off of that, we put QMAT into Mahout as a way to be a layer in front of any of these back-end systems. The core capabilities of the project are matrix arithmetic, so matrix multiplication, factorization, any kind of dot products, similarity calculation, things like that. And what we looked at when Trevor decided that this might be a good place to work was that the math behind quantum looked a lot like linear algebra, so we figured it was a good fit. So everybody here who's a researcher, I'm sure this is grade school level, but this came from another talk that we did too. But this is just explaining that when we looked at this, we just saw unit vectors, you know, basis vectors. And so it made a lot of sense for us. And so matrix multiplication obviously is just what we do all day at a distributed level. And so making it a new layer made a lot of sense for us. And
you want to do that?
Sure. Yeah. So as I said in the abstract, which you may or may not have read, there's approximately as many quantum programming languages as there are quantum computer vendors at this point. So you've got a very diversified field. And Qiskit is I have another slide on this, but Qiskit is emerging as a standard. They also realize, like, hey, nobody wants to pick one because they're afraid, oh, we'll do all this research, that quantum computer will go away and we'll have to start over from scratch. And so Qiskit is kind of making all these different back ends. And I do work for IBM, and I want to emphatically say this is not a pitch for the IBM Qiskit. Again, upcoming slide will show me turning on them soon. Is anybody in here working for IBM? Before I say, I guess it's a live stream. That guy. it's a live stream. I won't say anything too egregiously mean about them. I already said thank you for funding my vacation. So, so you have Qiskit, you've got Braket, you've got Circ, and the list goes on and on. We started with the Qiskit, Braket, and Circ because they are arguably the bigger frameworks, and we will expand out from there. Different vendor platforms running on very, very similar operations, and I've heard rumors that, like, Braket, will have optimizations written into Braket that makes quantum stuff run faster on, they will optimize for when you're running on AWS. And we're not going to have that. So if you are performance constrained, which I don't think quantum computing as a discipline's really there yet, where you're trying to milk, like, super low latencies or things like that out of it, but that day will come, and when that day happens, you're going to, at least you'll probably use Qiskit, or you'll use QMAT to prototype what you're gonna build, go get your VC funding, and then pick your vendor, and then you can optimize and you can really squeeze all those last little bits out of it. But our background in Mahout, again, being able to abstract over multiple backends was a core value we already had. We understood why it was important. So that is that. So actually, and normally if there was another IBMer in here, there would be an IBMer like, you know, Qiskit does all this. It does. They will give you the optimal version for the IBM quantum computers. I feel like at FOSDEM, we're all really big in open source, and we understand why a vendor having the abstraction layer for all the other vendors is probably a bad idea. If anybody really needs me to go into that, I can do a show of hands, or we can save it for Q&A later. Save it for Q&A later. What, next slide? So current states. We, at the moment, have basic gates. We plan on doing some machine learning stuff and more, but basic gates, I mean, this is really not particularly high-octane stuff, and three backends. However, the same circuits transpiled once for one. You can just switch one line of code, and you can run QMAT, or you can run Qiskit, you can run a Braket, whatever you want, in one line. We also have some, I would call them sidecar methods, like being able to do drawing, being able to parameterize circuits, which is starting to lay the groundwork for quantum machine learning. We have a getting started in quantum guide, which is really fun too. And as I said, we're not quantum experts. So if you want to make some pull requests, come and read our stuff. I'm sure there's errors in there. And that's a good on-ramping for other people getting into quantum computing, which is nice. And we have a Colab runnable notebook, which we will talk about soon. But coming soon, again, we're eventually working toward doing quantum machine learning stuff. That is a goal that we have in mind. And then the other beauty of that, too, is you can lay out a quantum machine learning circuit and then swap online, and now you can run it on whatever you want to run it on. More algorithms, coming back to FOSDEM because it's really fun coming to Brussels, someday getting some VC money so we don't have to work for IBM anymore, we can just buy our own plane tickets, etc. So I will hand it back over to Andrew for the demo.
Oh, so yeah. Does this pop open properly in a browser?
You know what, I think it's...
The next slide just shows the notebook in a screenshot,
you
too.
You want to do that?
Yeah.
Okay.
So we've used Colab. This interfaces really well with GitHub just as far as developer tooling. When you have a notebook in GitHub, you can just pop, there's a button for popping up a Colab notebook. We do have that button on this exact file. It happens to not point to the right notebook. So here are some screenshots. This is all runnable. We do have a simplified install, so you can just run these cells. This is all in github.com/apache/mahout/qmat/examples. And we have some examples of the circuit being drawn, so you can visualize the matrices you're multiplying together. We had some other stuff that I think is a work in progress. There was some Bloch spheres. So this all is online. You can run this stuff. Bless you. You can run stuff. You can make pull requests. You can tell us where we're wrong. And you can tell us where we can improve. And then, like Trevor has said, we are not experts, and we are software engineers who have specialized in machine learning and matrix math, and we are dipping our toes into quantum computing. We actually looked at, this morning at breakfast, I was looking up how to package this into PyPI, and I found out that user Zonky had already done it for us, so somehow there's an unsanctioned Python module out there that you can install with pip. So we're going to unfortunately, Zonky didn't give us any way to get in touch with them, so we are going to go through the process of taking.
No Zonky.
If anybody, so user Zonky on PyPI, please let them know. Please play with the notebooks, join the mailing list, and buy us beers. I had my first non-alcoholic Belgian last night. It was actually very delicious. And I think that's question time. Thank you. Any questions? Yes, Nate.
Can you just say a little bit, like, what is something that someone would be able to do for before the quantum?
Question. Yeah, the question is, what do people use Mahout for prior, and would that also translate over to the quantum backend? Yeah, people have done a lot of recommender systems, a lot of similarity calculations, a lot of analytics. I think that the quantum stuff, the end goal will be to be able to run workloads in the quantum stuff. Do you know more about the use cases for quantum that would be different?
Yeah, I mean, that, to be fair, goes to why do you use a classical computer versus why you use a quantum computer? And as I understand it, the answer is they're different use cases. So probably not until we get to some sort of singularity in the, I don't know how far distant future, where those kind of problems start happening or you're getting more crossover. That is a great idea, and we could probably do that, yes. Distributed.
There was actually a workflow prior where it did an analysis of your job, and it was able to decide what solvers to use and things like that. So, yeah, that would be a great feature. Yeah, thanks. Mm-hmm. Questions? Comments? What did we get wrong? Thanks a lot.
Thank you.